I like your setup. I like your background and everything.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. The bigger picture here. It's all about perspective.
It's all about perspective. See? All about change the world.
Well, thank you for agreeing to this interview. Actually, your name came across my desk, and let me tell you, I got a lot more than I thought dove into your story.
Okay. Right.
So welcome to The Bigger Picture. I am your host, Dakari. I am also the editor-in-chief of Urban Magazine.
Hey, pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you as well. Mustafa Speaks I have on today. Woof. More story than I realized. Again, you came across my desk. I said, okay, yeah, I know who this is. I know All American, you know. I know Unsolved, right? Yeah. I know these things. And I've seen you in NCIS. Actor, great. He's a great actor. But what I didn't realize was how multifaceted you were. That completely took me by surprise. Now, let's start from the beginning. Okay.
Let's do it.
Tell me a little bit about where you grew up and how it has affected or impacted your decisions today and how it correlates with the man that you are today.
I grew up in the greatest place on earth, a place called Booker T. Washington Projects in Jersey City. Now, this projects is the most loving, rich place that I've ever been to in my entire life. The community helped raise me. My family was amazing. Where it all started and how it impacts my decisions and how it impacts the man that I am is my dad. My father, the man that I know. And from my father was my grandmother. My grandmother raised 7 kids by herself in the projects. She's from the South originally. Moved to Jersey City, moved to the projects, you know, in the mid 60s, and she had 5 boys that had to carve their way into what that environment would be in Jersey City. So they ran into a lot of different things during that time, in that era. Mm-hmm. So that means they had a lot of wisdom with those bumps and bruises. Yeah. And they passed that down to me, poured that all into me. How that impacts me, again, all of my decisions, well, I have so much to learn from and had so much to learn from. And watching my uncles and watching my father and how to be a man in a world that we live in.
Yeah.
A different time we live in. How I had to carry myself, how I had to have unshakable self-belief and desire, whatever it is that I want. I had to have unshakable resilience in everything. I had to have unshakable faith in everything that I believe in and in the Most High.
Yeah,
so every and that I move, you mentioned that I'm multifaceted. Well, that is the foundation of everything. My philosophy is called an SS3D lifestyle. And I say SS, stand strong in the 3 dimensions of your being, your mind, your body, and your spirit. And I get that. My dad, he always told me, like, stand strong, whether I was swimming for my high school or playing football in college or out there on the water swimming and wrestling with sharks. I always kept that in me. So even as I approach my work today in this entertainment industry, swimming with different types of sharks.
Yeah.
keep that in me. You know, stand strong. Remember who you are. My hometown, where it all started, is the foundation.
Now, you went to HU.
And the real HU. You got
to
say
I was going to say the other HU. I didn't go to Howard, but a lot of my friends.
Wait, we're about to end this interview right now. Go to Howard, and you're about to get disrespected?
Tease you a little bit because I knew that you went to Hampton.
Disrespect, bro.
Now, why was it so important for you to go to an HBCU?
The culture. Understanding the identity. Before I went to HU, I went to an all-white, small Catholic school called Siena College, which was a cool experience, but I only went there because they gave me a football scholarship.
Okay.
And program, but the football scholarship, and I needed to get to higher education. And, you know, unfortunately, just where I'm from and in the way things were during that time, the best way to look was through sports and athletics. So I made sure not only did I excel in my academics, but also athletics. I went there, but having that experience even forced me even more to want to seek culture with being at Hampton, particularly because Hampton was really prestigious and they also had a marine and environmental science program. But I knew that there was more to us as a people. And when I went to Hampton, oh my goodness, sis, let me tell you, the amount of beauty I saw stepping on that between beautiful sisters that look like yourself to, strong, strapping, educated men stepping on, oh, this is the cloth that we come from. A representation of the motherland. I love this. And then to experience the different type of experiences they had and pour into me. I mean, it was the greatest decision I've ever made.
So how did you go from football? When did you decide that you wanted to go into marine biology? Because football, marine biology. I mean, you don't normally see those two things rolled up into one person. I mean, it happens, but it's very far and few between. It's like an anomaly almost. So, and you, and I know that you were extremely successful as a marine biologist. I mean, right out of college, right? In college. So how did you select marine biology? Where did this come from?
Well, it started from the foundation. My dad used to take us all fishing. Growing up in the projects, as I talk about often, I mean, fishing is not common. But my dad, an avid outdoorsman, he just loved being outdoors. So he would put on his bucket hat and have out on a boat. My siblings and I, but that was the time for me and my dad to always connect. I mean, he would just take me oftentimes because the others didn't want to come. So we would just sit and talk about life and just sit in silence. And it was very sacred time for he and I. So I just automatically developed a love for the ocean, the water. And I just love science. I always had interest in science to watch Discovery Channel, National Geographic, all of that stuff. That was my escape. Love science and math and all of that. In eighth grade, I asked my teacher, I said, is there a way I can like merge my science and like my love for the water? Because I love to swim and all that. She's like, yeah, marine biology, you can look into that. So my eighth grade yearbook, I said, I wanted to be a marine biologist. And I matriculated through my high school year. And when I got to my senior year, I found that Hampton, excuse me, had a program like that. And I applied. At that point, I didn't get into Hampton just because the finances, but people did provide
But
a biology.
you found a way.
I found a way. Found a way. So sorry about that.
That's okay.
I found a way, and that's what led me to continue it on a larger scale.
And then again, you were published, internationally published. So, I mean, this was obviously a passion of yours. And now, you had the opportunity to travel the world through marine biology. What made you? I mean, it takes a lot of, that's very audacious and bold and courageous, really. That's the right word, courageous, that you had this opportunity to do that, but you decided, no, I want to be an actor. So what happened again, the switch? What made you, where was your moment that you decided, no, not only do I like the arts, not only do I enjoy participating, but you know what, I gotta do this. This is something for me. And why did you choose acting?
Well, it's all about perspective, right? To me, the bigger picture. And my bigger picture was, I know who I am. I know where I come from. I know what I want to do. And I want my life to be an example in my accomplishments and everything I do to be a platform just to, help inspire and motivate and change the perspective of my brother, of my sister, of my. And then it just expanded into my greater community and then the world. So I was like, what's the best avenue to do that? And at one point, I thought maybe sports. Another point, I thought it was marine and environmental science. And so that catalyst came when I realized I'm excelling pretty high in my marine environmental science. I became internationally published as an undergraduate for specializing in shark behavior. And we successfully discovered a repellent for sharks. So this afforded me so much opportunity in the field, traveling different places, getting funded to do different things. I reached a pinnacle really early in my career as an undergrad. So while I was doing that, I was offered more scholarship money, which forced me to kind of make a decision between athletics and academics, because at the time I was offered also going to be working toward an athletic scholarship at Hampden. I was a walk-on because I transferred and all that, but they were open to giving me an athletic scholarship. But at the same time, I was getting funded, so I said, I'm not going to be able to do the athletics anymore. So I'll just do what I've been working hard to get, take the academic scholarship. Then I had more time on my hands. As a student athlete, you're used to doing things, moving, shaking all the time, full schedule. This is when acting. So because of my philosophy, my perspective, and who I am and how I work, my work ethic, I put in the work as an actor when I first just stepped on stage and I fell in love with that energy. I also saw very early success just being a theater actor. So there, I ended up taking it really serious, started taking some like acting classes off campus and doing the shows, got my first agent. And then from there, I got my first TV show. I got my first commercial, and now I'm like a little local celebrity in the Hampton Roads area, and things started to progress.
Yeah, you
So
have this momentum.
momentum, again, perspectives, decisions, the SSG lifestyle. So upon graduation, I started to see success in both areas, and I was offered an opportunity to go out to Los Angeles and continue my acting career while making connections in Hampton. So I said, am I going to do one of two, which am I going to do? These one of two things. Am I going to take this academic scholarship yet again to go to grad school to continue my research? I'm familiar with that world. I'm pretty high in this world right now. Or am I going to just explore something completely different that's really intriguing to me right now? But look, my life has always been about taking chances, taking risks, and betting on myself and, exploring the unknown. So let me explore the unknown. That's when I made the decision to just go home for 2 weeks upon graduation, love on my family, and then head out to LA and then and try to hustle for this vision. Not a dream, not a dream. Hustle for this vision.
Well, I mean, you have just made leaps and strides, it sounds like, within your life. Your foundation that was set for you, really, I'm sure it's given you that confidence that's much needed in every aspect of your success that you've had up till now and even going forward. That's ever present. Now, when you saw All American premiere and you knew that football was the backdrop, how did that make you feel?
That's a great question. So once I knew I was going to get into this field and come out to LA, I was like, I really want to do a football show. I want to do a football show. And so when I saw a premiere and saw who was a part of it, I was like, oh, this is great. But a little bit inside, I was like, oh, I wish I was in there. I wish you. I'm like, great. This is great to tell that kind of story. And I was in it. I was locked in for a little bit. I had to come out, to be completely honest with you. I had to leave it alone because it was a little too close to home. It hurt to watch it, part of it. But I was a big fan of the show. So when this opportunity came around for me to be, I was like, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
You're all over it.
I was all over it. I was ready. And it was just such a serendipitous thing for me at the time. And Leah Daniels Butler. She's amazing, really good friend. So for her to, think of me in this capacity was great. And, to do the role was even better, and making the connection with the All American family, with NK and everybody there. It was just, it is just a dream come true.
I bet, now I have a question for you concerning that.
Yeah.
Because of your experience, with football? I mean, hands on. Are there moments, or were there moments like when you would, that's not real. That doesn't really happen. We don't really do things like this. Because I know like doctors and nurses and then, or healthcare professionals, and when they watch TV that has to do with like a healthcare backdrop, they're like, yeah, that's not right. That's BS. So do you do, did you do that sometimes? Like, yeah,
That's a good because the interesting thing I was expecting to, but the interesting thing about this show is that they're so on point. I didn't need and correct it because they have consultants that's like really on it. Now, some of the dialogue at times may not be things, so I do take that liberty and be like, let me just add this little flavor to it.
Let me just kind of improv this, right? A little tweak.
Right. This will be, and they love it. They love it because they want it to be a real authentic experience. And I've been commented, it's been said that they appreciate that authenticity that I'm able to bring to it because it just elevates things in different ways, which makes sense to the story too, because now Spencer is at another level, D1, right? College football. So it has to be that level of expertise, expectation, and grind.
Yeah, I would expect you to say, yeah. I just thought about that. I just thought that was pretty funny. I'm like, I want to know. But that's good to know that they actually brought people in and that they were really serious and making it, you know, appear to be as authentic as they could. That's great.
They
Now,
do it.
you know what?
What's up?
Now you also have a book, okay? So I'm like, all right, so now he's an author too. So
My goodness, I love this.
this guy, I mean, he's so, again, you're just so well-rounded. This book, it's what, Mind Muscle Memory, yes?
Fine muscle method.
Method. That I knew
Method.
it was MMM. And I was like, oh, the alliteration, you got it down. I love it. I loved every part of it. So, like, what inspired you to write this book?
Some of the deepest, darkest pain that I've ever experienced. I needed to get it out. I needed some therapy in the healthy way. At the time, writing a book, I'd just gone through a divorce. And my wife at the time, she had moved across country with my two little ones. They were 2 and like 6 months at the time. 6 months at the and I stayed in LA, continuing to build the vision, but she just needed to head back home because that's what she needed at the time. But that was the roughest thing that I've ever experienced, from being a very on dad to not having anybody in the house, was really, really tough. So the only thing that I was able to do to get through it was keep talking to myself, was to keep, praying, keep meditating, keep talking to my dad, remembering his words. And every single day, every single moment, especially the times where I was straight prostrate on my face, crying, bawling, snot, and all of that. These were the things I would say to myself to get up off the floor and go or put it into my work. And those words, once I kind of got out of it, I was like, you know what? I know I'm not the only person going through stuff like this, going through this depression, which I wouldn't admit to myself at the time, going through this pain. I need to share it. I'm going to share it. And whoever needs to receive it will receive it. And I put those episode of Mind Muscle Method is a 30-day self-development, self-improvement guide to help you get to the next level mentally, whatever it is that you're struggling. So it's affirmations 30. I don't want to say affirmations because it's such a buzzword, but it's just sayings and quotes that helps you shift your perspective into realizing a bigger picture.
I completely understand. So it was a way that you were, it was therapy. It was your own therapy. And once you were able to get it on paper and get it out, you don't have to own certain things anymore, I would think. It's a way that you can kind of just let it go. Let it go. And then it's also a resource so that if you ever do come, this is, life is a spiral. So every time you do come back to a certain point that runs a parallel in emotion, you're able to look back through your book and remember. And it's kind of like, again, it's the reinforcement, I would think. So that's great that you put it out there for everybody. I'm definitely going to check out your book. I'm going to get your book.
I appreciate
Because yes, I think that's a, you know, we need more of that in the world. Now, Joe Pickett, the second season just started, right for us. and you are Nate Ro Romanowski. Now you are a Falconer, is that correct?
That's the Falcon.
Okay. Oh, Master Falconer. Now that is impressive. That were animals on the set? It was.
I was dealing with live animals, yeah.
Wow, such a dynamic character. Tell me a little bit about Nate.
Yeah, so Nate, as you said, is a very dynamic character, Master Falconer, elite survivalist. So he's out there by himself. He needs to know everything. And he's also an ex-special forces soldier. So his breadth of knowledge and depth of knowledge is extensive. But what I really loved about this character and bringing this character to life is his soul, his deep knowingness of himself, and his willingness to learn and grow, and his kind of fear of connection because of the stuff he's experienced in his past, but how he overcomes that and develops this bond with the title character, Joe Pickett. His honesty, his grit, his depth, his just unashamed, manhood, manliness, and he senses the word, the protection, the care, the sensitivity, all aspects of manhood that is absolutely necessary to exist.
So that's what it sounds like you were able to give to the character, right? So what did you learn? What was it that you learned from the character?
So interesting said that. I appreciate that. I picked that up. I appreciate that. But what I learned from the character is patience, the more patience, even more stillness, and even more integrity in the sense of knowing what you know and not wavering from it in the sense of placating to someone else just because it may feel good in the moment.
Yeah, I would think, yeah, especially a falconer, you'd have to have those type of attributes, right? I mean, since you worked with the animals right on set, I mean.
No, absolutely. I mean, to your point, I literally had to dip into that stuff every time with it because the falcons are the predators, right? So they're able to tap all of those senses. So if I'm not centered, if I'm not calm, this falcon rip my arm strong. It's going to try to fly away or peck my eyes out. So I literally had to train and become, a master falconer before I even stepped on set.
So I'm sure the level of respect that you gained for falcons or any type of bird of prey, I mean, because I mean, you work with sharks. So you already have this profound respect for predators.
Very true. Very true.
Now, how do you, is there a level? Now I'm seeing like this thing, okay, falconry, I'm seeing sharks, football. Is there a certain level? And I don't mean this, I mean, people think predator is a bad word, negative word. But is there a certain, there's a level of like predatory, like grit, I would think that you have to have on your own in order to work with sharks, work with falcons, be on, you know, the field playing football. Right. Where do you think that came from? Where do you think that was this something that's innate that you were born with? Was it something that you learned? Was it something, you know, because that takes a lot. Everything that I've listed, it takes a lot of grit.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question too. Really insightful, and I believe it's both nature and nurture. Born with a lot of things. I was born with a lot of raw material that my environment helped cultivate. Such a predatory environment. Just to get a little candid with you, like I was a really sensitive, happy-go-lucky, kind of chubby kid growing up in a that wasn't the best recipe growing up in a project. So there was a lot of, All right, well, you're gonna toughen up, and the way you get toughened up is living life, and going getting into fights and all of that crazy. Way that you understand to learn to deal with people and use certain things as outlets. So there was a lot of things that allowed me to realize the power that I did have inside, and then even exercise that stuff.
I can now, right? I
Like
can
an
see the correlation.
oh yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now, what were you saying? Now, I want to hear what you're going to say.
And I kind of liken it to a superhero story, or like the X-Men.
I can see you play a superhero now that you mention it. Have you thought about
Which one? Which always? What? Every day? Which one though? Which one? Who could I be?
Oh, I you are silly too. I don't know. I can see what it just flashed. I don't know. Like, I'm not really. I watch the Marvel movies because I have family. I have a brother that I have a daughter. I have family that they watch this, and I have to stay privy. I have to stay up on all the different stories. I do get involved. I did watch Spider-Man, so that was great. But I don't know. I just saw it as soon as you said that. I'm like, oh, superhero! I can absolutely see you in a Marvel movie.
I
Maybe you
love
should
it.
be in the next, like, Black Panther. Just saying.
I
Just
will
saying.
look, I will receive that. I don't think the superhero that I'm meant to play has been created yet.
Ah, okay.
I don't think. I mean, I really would love to if I put it out there. I would love to be Spawn. This creation of Spawn.
Yes. All day. As soon as you said that, yes, because I remember watching that. I remember watching the movie.
You remember watching the movie? Yeah,
Yes. Yes, I absolutely can
all
see
right.
that.
That's my man.
All right. So now, before we go, I just want to say, like, all right, now we were talking about things that we haven't even gotten to this. It's been such, you have me all off kilter here tonight because there's so much to talk to you about. If it wasn't enough, all these things that we've talked about to add to your list, you are now going to add writer, director, producer, your show, Shadowboxing, round one. I mean, if everything else wasn't enough, you are now adding these. So please tell me, what do I have to look forward to, and when can I see Shadowboxing?
That's a great question. I want to know that as well. But I'm actually right now in Miami, South Beach for ABFF to world premiere to premiere the show worldwide. The goal here is to get the attention of, the powers that be to get this out to the public. And if I don't happen to, make a deal here or anything like that, I'm going to release it myself so that the world gets to see it. I mean, anything that I create, one is close to my heart, and anything that I create, I want to make sure that the people get to feel it, get to taste it, get to see it, and experience it. So I'm not going to let anything stop me. One of my greatest attributes is my stubbornness, right? As you know. But shadow boxing will be out there when, not sure. Definitely keep everybody posted as long as they make sure they stay in contact.
So tell me some information, like, what is the story about, and what do you bring to storytelling
Oh,
that
sure.
differentiates your show in comparison to another show?
Man, so Shadowboxing is a story about a guy who's a sex addict struggling to live a normal life when he meets the woman of his dreams. And chaos happens every time his alter ego pops up. So I want you to, it causes chaos in paradise as soon as he pops up. So think about the Nutty Professor meets Fight Club.
Okay.
It's a dark comedy, but it just experiences, it really talks about the experiences as a man or as a person dealing with one addiction, but then understanding identity, understanding how they placate to one another, society standards. And what I bring as a storyteller, what my goal is as a storyteller, is to be a reflection of the times and tell truth. Stories that I can relate to as a man, and if I can relate to it as a man, so many others can relate to it as well and learn from. So it isn't just for men, it isn't just for women. It's for everyone to learn something about the other.
Well, I look forward to hearing more about what happens. I'm sure it will do well during the film festival. I'm sure of it.
I
Now,
appreciate it.
what part of the human experience did you emphasize in this last project?
In Shadowboxing or the last project I just
Shadowboxing.
the human experience I emphasize is how we abdicate human nature for fitting into society standards. Whether through the female, whether it be through the female's eyes, who's Desi, where she feels like she has to be the strong, independent woman, career woman, but has to abdicate her responsibility or her even desire to want to be nurtured and take care of and loved on and provided for by a man. And with Andre, whether he just really goes with his nature and understanding what his relationship dynamic is, or just doing what everybody says he should do. We all deal with identity every single day, and how we choose to present ourselves in the world is a struggle every day for fear of
It
judgment.
is. And it's forever evolving too, because who we are today is not going to be who we are tomorrow or next week or next month. And we also need the freedom to be who we are. Whoever we are, whenever we are. I think sometimes identity, we can get wrapped up into perceiving ourselves instead of just being ourselves. And, that's, and you have to find the freedom in just being yourself and not over-identifying. So I'm interested in watching this. I hope that I get a chance to see this. Now, the cherry on top or the foundation for you, however you want to put it. You mentioned earlier you are dead. So, how do you maintain this balance? Oh my goodness, with your work schedule.
But there's no other option. There's no other option for me. So, I mean, it really isn't hard, honestly, because I just being a dad is priority. You know, daddy of four is the greatest gift and the greatest joy in the world. Yeah, it gets difficult with trying to be everywhere at once, but if I need to understand the priorities and remember my life philosophy that says 3D lifestyle, if I remember what it's all for, then easier. And then I have a great partner. My wife is amazing, Michelle Witt. And she's like the shit partner for it. She's amazing, but I have a great partner to help balance the things. So as I'm away working and do what I need to do, I know and I'm confident that home is taken care of. And then when she's her thing, it's vice versa. So it's a great partnership.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, because you have to feed that too. You have to feed your relationship. You have to, nurture your children. I mean, it's like I said, it's a heck of a balance. Yeah, so excellent. So now, last question. I'm afraid, I don't even know, I'm not afraid, but I don't even know what to expect when I hear this or when I ask you this. What's next? Do you have some other talent we don't know about? Are you going to like come out with an album?
I was actually just in the studio putting something down. But well, I mean, what's not next? I really see no ceiling, right? See no limit to what I can do and what I'm doing. But right now, my focus is on continuing to create authentic, moving projects that shifts the perspective. So I have quite a few things bubbling on the development side. I'm also into other things like real estate and consulting, things of that sort. Because I feel like I don't, when I die, when I leave, I don't want any of this stuff to be locked up in here. I gotta share. So there are a lot of things that's going to be continuing to come out. And the best way to know what's next is to stay locked in.
Okay. Well, everyone that's listening and watching, you heard it. Stay locked in because Mustafa Speaks has got everything going on. I mean, Shay, go get his book.
Man.
Okay? You need to go get his book. You got to watch Joe Pickett.
That's
Okay? And stay tuned. I know people are going to be interested in this shadow boxing round one show that you are producing and writing and directing and starring in. So please, everyone, stay tuned to Mustafa Speaks. Is there anybody you want to give a shout out to?
My kids, all four of my kids, Allie, and the War Legacy. I'm giving a big shout out to them and daddy's proud of you. Oh, and something else that's coming out, I didn't mention it because it just happened. Taylor Sheridan's new show, Landman, will be coming out, I believe, in the fall, but we haven't started filming it because of the situation going on. But that's another thing that's bubbling. All
Landman.
American. Yeah, it's called Landman. It's called
Landman.
Landman. Plus, Joe Pickett on Paramount Plus, All American on CW.
Excellent. And everyone know you can they can follow you anywhere, any social media platform, every single one, I'm sure, right?
Social media platform at Mustafa Speaks.
Excellent. Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you for stopping by the bigger picture. I wish you, I don't, you don't need any luck, but I wish you all the best. Stay blessed, stay focused, stay up. I know you will. And have a good night. Thank you for coming by the bigger picture.
It was an honor. It was an honor. Blessings.
That's
Good night.
good.